The Holy Gospel of our Savior Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Just then, a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him. And when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Children ages 3 through 10 are invited to join Miss Katie for story time, and they'll return at the piece.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. Amen. What is it that holds our church together? What is the essential thing that makes us Episcopalian? Today we continue our series on Episcopal identity. Last week, we heard about the Anglican Communion from Adeline. This week, I thought we would take a deep dive into the Episcopal Church. What is it? What makes us Episcopalian? So nice about the parables is the parables invite us to imagine ourselves in each position of the characters in them. In the story of the Good Samaritan, where do you find yourself? Which character are you in that story? The priest, the Levite, the lawyer, the man in the ditch, the innkeeper? Which person represents our church? If you had to pick the Episcopal Church, which character? When I was in seminary, I got to take a class from the person who wrote the book on the history of the Episcopal Church. And for a number of years before seminary, I had been working on an elevator pitch for the Episcopal Church, like a history in 3 minutes, you know? And I asked him if I could give my elevator speech in class one day. And he said yes, and I gave it. I said, "What did you think of that?" And he said, "Mostly right." So here it goes, just real quick. Episcopal Church, of course, starts with the Anglican Communion, with the Church of England, 1500s. King Henry VIII wanted a divorce. Yes, now, the part that we all know is that he wanted an heir, and that's true. But when Henry VIII left the Catholic Church, he inherited and became the head of the church, Church of England. He inherited all of the lands and the wealth from the Catholic Church. It's not only all the church buildings, the monasteries, it's also all of the colleges and universities. It was a very strategic socio-political land grab that's way more complicated than just divorce, but of course it involves that. Henry dies. Oh, well, hold on. So everybody who wouldn't leave the Catholic Church and join this new church, ostracized or worse. Henry dies. His first daughter takes over. She restores the Catholic Church in England and does the reverse. Everybody who wouldn't leave what was the Church of England and come back to the Catholic Church was ostracized or worse. Mary dies. Elizabeth takes over. And this takes a couple hundred years to develop into what is now known as the Elizabethan settlement. It took a long time, but the germ of the idea that Elizabeth instills in the church is, how do we stop the cycle of violence? During the Reformation, during the 1500s, during that period of time, the idea was the identity of the church is going to be understood doctrinally as an interpretation of Scripture. And if you didn't interpret Scripture the way that church did, you got kicked out. Elizabeth's idea, which was shaped a lot by the theologians of the time, including Cranmer, was, let's shape a church not around doctrine, but prayer. If you had to point to one thing that holds the Episcopal Church together, it's what? Jesus. Sorry. Okay. Yeah, Jesus, yes, but also the Book of Common Prayer, how we worship and pray to Jesus. The thing that holds us together is the Book of Common Prayer. And the idea is, instead of having to agree on how to interpret the Bible on each important thing, we could have disagreements about those things. But if we could pray together, we could be a church together. I say that again. If we can pray together, we can be a church together. 1500s, the big doctrinal issue was over transubstantiation. It was over how to understand the Eucharistic feast. Super Protestants wanted it to be only as a memorial. We merely remember the words of Jesus, the actions of Jesus. On the other side, some of the Catholics, it was transubstantiation, that the bread and the wine mysteriously become the actual body and blood of Jesus. The advance, if it is an advance, of the Episcopal Church was to say, we're not going to take a position on how to interpret that. We're going to think of it as a sacrament, as a mystery. There can be lots of different perspectives, but if we can pray together, we can be a church together. So you get a bunch of Episcopal priests together and you ask them, what's happening in the Eucharistic feast? You got five Episcopal priests, you're going to get seven different answers. And what that has allowed for us to do is to have just this great flourishing of different kinds of people in our church. We have been less reticent over time to kick people out for disagreements, to try to hold that unity and that space. Now, when I joined the Episcopal Church, I have just a confession for you all. I believed I had picked the right answer. I believe that I surveyed all the different churches out there, and I picked the one that answered the questions right. Okay? And I felt very triumphant in my coming to be an Episcopalian. And that state of sin existed in me for a number of years until I went to seminary. When I went to seminary at Virginia Seminary in Alexandria, and Virginia Seminary was a great experience for me, for my family. They deeply formed me as a priest. Within 40 miles or 60 miles of Alexandria, there are more than 150 Episcopal churches, which means that you could go for 3 years of seminary and visit a different Episcopal church every Sunday and not visit the same one twice. I didn't visit that many. I didn't visit all 150, but I visited a lot. What I came to understand and to see and experience was that any complaint I had ever had about how some church did something, there was like the evangelicals that I grew up with, or the non-denominational church, or the Southern Baptist, or the Methodist, or whoever. I had, you know, very high-minded criticisms of how they were doing church and such. What I came to find out that there is some Episcopal church within 60 miles of the seminary doing that very thing that I had said with total high-mindedness that would never happen in the Episcopal church. Oh boy, it happens. It happens. It was a very broad church. And that led to a real humbling of myself about what our church is, which was a more realistic and truthful view. Let's just say, sometimes people will come to my office, schedule a tea, and they're considering joining our church. And I give them a little bit of a pitch. But ultimately, I never recommend them joining. Here's what I say. The church, because oftentimes people leave the churches that they are because there's not the right kind of program, or there's a disagreement over something that is always very good and important. But what I say is, there is no position that the Episcopal Church has now that we have not had the opposite view of. Oftentimes, not too long ago, we are a church still deeply flawed in so many ways. The church that you're leaving, whatever mistake that they're making, whatever wrong view that they have, we have had that at some point. The only thing I can advise you to do is to seek guidance of the Spirit. I invite them to pray. Of course, we want you in our church. Your gifts, your passions, your crazy, heterodox views, they're welcome here. You make our church better. better and stronger, the more diverse and the more strange our views and people and the lives they inhabit, the more different, the better. But maybe you're being called right now to stay in that church and be a witness to them. Slowly bring them around to a place of justice and truth. Or maybe the Spirit's telling you you don't need conflict anymore and get out. But I can't tell you that. That's something you got to discern for yourself. Oh boy, time's running out. Let's see here. The Good Samaritan. Which position? Which character? Of course we want to be the Good Samaritan. I think Jesus is asking the lawyer to see that he is first and foremost the person in the ditch, the person in deep need of anybody. And the only person willing to help is the person who is ethnically and ideologically polar opposites. Until we see we're that person in the ditch sometimes, in desperate need of help, and who do we get help from but the person we are sure would never help us? Until we see that we are that person, we can never be the Good Samaritan. You have got to start in the ditch first. That's what I think about our church. Sometimes we're too much on the pedestal. I was too much on the pedestal thinking we had all got it all solved. Our brethren, our brothers and sisters in Christ, who often don't have as pluralistic view of what it means to be a church, I stand in judgment of them sometimes. But I also know that many of those people who seem to be on a different planet than me, politically, religiously, socially, many of those people would give their shirts off their backs to help me if I was in a ditch. Story of the Good Samaritan starts first with humility as a church. A great diversity of views to see the other as someone welcomed in our place. That is our charism. We invite all of us to take it to welcome the person who walks into that door. Amen.